We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
I want to say that Dr. Elder Jerry Tenori did a terrific job last week bringing the word, didn't he? You need a doctor to be able to connect all those dots for you. I'll tell you, it was amazing. I was listening over it, and it's just amazing how, you know, if you take the Old Testament and you put it to the New Testament, all the dots that connect. And he brought an amazing word titled, His Priesthood, Our Covenant, and the Tithe. And he committed, just connected all the dots beautifully. So if you haven't heard that, believe you me, you want to hear that. Today, I want to talk to you about something. And it's about Jesus. He's a pretty fascinating character. I call him a character because of some of the things that he's done in the Bible. But obviously, we know that Jesus has changed the world. We know that he's changed the world. And there's something so fascinating about the life of Jesus, so fascinating, even those that do not believe he is the Christ, they're fascinated by how his life has changed the world. And how undeniably attractive the idea that someone could give their life for those they never met. Isn't that true? I recently spoke with somebody that told me, you know, I don't believe in Jesus, but I essentially believe in everything else that you believe. They said, I believe in the core values. I believe in being a good person. I believe in helping others. I believe in all of that stuff. We're so close, but I just don't believe in that. And what I told them was, I said, well, what if this one and only difference is the only one that matters? What if this one and only difference is the only one that matters? And I went on to explain, like let's just talk. I said, look, if God, you know, you believe that there's something, if God loves us so much that he created us and told us that, you know, how he would like for us to live, but inevitably we failed in living that way because none of us are perfect. All of us have messed up. As I'm telling this person, I said, don't you think that the God that loved us so much that he created us would create an opportunity to be reunited with us even though we messed up? Yeah. And the person kind of said, yeah, I mean, if that's the way you think, then yeah, I believe that's the case. And I said, and if all of that's the case, and I told you that the fix was named Jesus, and that he was the opportunity God created for us to have relationship again, wouldn't you understand that the only difference we have is the only one that matters because the only fix that God created was Jesus? And I could just see this person thinking through the process. And I just said, what if the one difference was the one that could set you free? Today I want to talk to you about you are free. Look, Jesus was not a plan B. God knew humanity was going to fail. He knew that we were going to sin, and Jesus wasn't a plan B. He was the final solution for the problem known as sin. And that's what's important for you to understand. Say final solution. What it means is there's not a solution we could come up with, and that's why Jesus had to come. Because if we could produce a solution, it would mean that Jesus' blood wasn't needed. Did you hear me? So Jesus, he is the reason that we can have access to God. Jesus is the one in which we put our faith in. Jesus is the one that is the source of our faith. Jesus, if there's no Jesus, we're still killing animals on an altar for the sake of sin. Right? And so I'm kind of telling you all this because I need you to understand there is no freedom outside of Jesus. There is feel goods outside of Jesus, but not true freedom. Know what? I was at the beach and that felt good until the burn. So what you see, anything here is just so many base layers of burn, it eventually turned into some tan. That's how I do it. But listen, I can go to the beach and I can feel free, but I'm not feeling free. I'm feeling good. I'm not feeling free. I'm feeling relaxed. I'm feeling whatever that feeling is. It's not the same thing as freedom that we find in Jesus. People will spend time and time and money into buying toys that makes them feel free, but it's not true freedom. The only one that brings true freedom is Jesus. And so this one and only difference this person and I had was the only difference that mattered. And I told this person, I said, if this is what the world believes and this is what I believe, what you're saying is you are right here. But what if that close isn't close enough? What if the only difference is the only difference that matters? Okay, I hope you got that. Today I want to look at an event that happened in history when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And he was teaching on the Sabbath day, which in the Mosaic law was the day of rest, the day in which no one did anything. And Jesus, remember, he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it, not to destroy it. He came to fulfill it, right? But what's interesting is all the decisions Jesus makes in his lifetime as he's going through, you can tell he's building the architect of a new structure in preparation for the new covenant that's coming. He's bumping against the religious walls. He's kind of shouldering through some of the religious spirits and doing things in a way that you wouldn't see priests do in the past. They were following the law, but Jesus, he said, I came to fulfill the law. And so let's check out what happens here in Luke 13. I love the way it says it in the Passion Translation, so read it with me. So one Sabbath day while Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he encountered a seriously handicapped woman. She was crippled and in bed doubled over for 18 years. Her condition was caused by a demonic spirit of bondage that had left her unable to stand up straight. This is important for you to know because there are some strongholds in your life that aren't just poor discipline. There are some strongholds in your life, some strongholds that may be in your situation that actually it's a spiritual war inside of you. We need to, as long as we say spiritual war doesn't exist, we will lose the spiritual war. As long as we act like it's not happening, we're going to give up ground. And so just to understand, when the Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness, what he's saying is there's stuff happening behind the veil that you don't necessarily see, but it's happening. And so it's interesting that they say, hey, this person has been doubled over for 18 years, but it wasn't just a physical issue. It was a spiritual issue. Okay? When Jesus saw her condition, he called her over and gently laid his hands on her. Then he said, dear woman, you are free. I release you forever from this crippling spirit. Instantly, she stood straight and tall and overflowed with glorious praise to God. Now, you're about to see what religion does. The Jewish leader who was in charge of the synagogue was infuriated over Jesus' healing on the Sabbath day. 6 days you are to work, he shouted angrily at the crowd. Those are the days you should come here for healing, but not on the seventh day. The Lord said, you hopeless frauds. Just let that air out for a minute. Other translations say hypocrites. I like hopeless frauds. Don't you care for your animals on the Sabbath day, untying your ox or donkey from the stall and leading it away to water? If you do this for your animals, what's wrong with allowing this beloved daughter of Abraham, who has been bound, sorry, how is she a daughter of Abraham? Remember, God promised Abraham many sons and daughters. Okay, so we're looking at what would be promised, the promise kept of God of the descendants of Abraham. That's where he's coming from, okay? Who has been bound by Satan for 18 long years to be untied and set free on a Sabbath day? When they heard this, his critics were completely humiliated. But the crowd shouted with joy over the glorious things Jesus was doing among them. Here's something that as I thought through this and I was reading this and I read it multiple times and I'm thinking about, man, there's so much stuff in here, God. What are you trying to say? Because obviously we know you're attacking the religious spirit that Jesus came to say, look, you're no longer going to walk in an old covenant. You're going to walk with me. That's inevitably what the new covenant is. The new testament, the new agreement is that Jesus said, I am going to do what you could not, and if you're with me, you're good. The question is, am I with him? And so what's interesting here, though, and I'm going to jump through a couple points here, more than a couple, But listen to this. Number one, being in the right place is based on right decisions, not perfect conditions. Being in the right place is not based on, when things work out perfectly, I'll make it happen. No, it's based on good decisions. Making the right decision in a hard time is hard. But if you make the right decision in a hard time, it can be a freeing decision. It can make the suffering end much quicker. Can I tell you, I'm sure the spirit inside this woman did not want to go hang out in a synagogue. I'm sure that the spirit would have much rather done other things that were dark. But this woman, who had been suffering for 18 years, chose to make the right decision, even when the conditions were rough. She chose to make the right decision to be in church, to be near Jesus, regardless of how she felt, regardless of the residue of her past, regardless of the struggle she was going through. She chose to make the right decision. This woman was dealing with spiritual warfare. She was sick, not just because of a virus, but something much more. But she made that right decision to be in the synagogue that day. We often hear people waiting for the perfect conditions to make, you know, to have life change, waiting for the perfect conditions to kick a habit or change their life or you know, turn to Jesus. But the truth is there's never perfect conditions. There's never perfect conditions. Why? You need to hear this. If you're taking notes, the devil has conditioned the world to believe they must wait for the perfect conditions, which he knows by his own doing will never come. He knows. He's conditioned us to believe it's got to all work out perfectly if it's going to work. Otherwise, it's not going to be authentic. Otherwise, it's not going to be genuine. He's conditioned you to believe conditions matter. Church, are you awake? But they're never going to be perfect because he's the one making sure you're never going to have it perfect. Okay, I hope you got that. The perfect time is the present, and the perfect condition is only going to come by the touch of Jesus. Number two, it's hot in here. We're going to keep moving. Jesus is the only true freedom bringer. The only true freedom bringer. Again, if you in point one, we're talking about verses 10 and 11. But in point two, if we jump down here, it says in verse 6, Jesus explained, let's jump to 14 through 6. Jesus, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. It's interesting, union with me. Not just if you believe. There's a union that comes with having a relationship with Jesus. The devils believe Jesus exists. The devils believe in his power. Or the demons believe in his power. But having a union is totally different than just having a simple belief. Jesus is the only true freedom bringer. And although others have come and claimed a path to freedom, Jesus is the only one who claimed to be God and have the power, miracles, and resurrection to prove it. So we've got to remember, in the midst of a world that's looking for freedom, and they're looking for freedom in such a way that they're willing to do anything that feels good, just to get a release, just to have a moment where they can feel a lack of pressure, to have a moment where they can feel exhilaration, to have a moment where they can just have moments of freedom. But it's not freedom. It's not freedom. That's why the very next day when they get back to life as usual, all the same pressures are there, all the same struggles are there, all the same habits are there. There was nothing freeing about it. It was just a pause moment. Some people live their whole life in pause moments trying to feel free, but the answer is Jesus. Wondering why life's not going anywhere, but it's because they're choosing, instead of moving forward and growing, they're choosing to pause. Jesus is the only true freedom bringer. Number three, his touch brings freedom. His touch. In verse 12 and 13, it says, when Jesus saw her condition, he called her over and gently laid his hands on her. Then he said, dear woman, you are free. In a world that is eager for a new revelation, let's lean in for a fresh touch in his presence. I just need another word, Pastor. Well, what'd you do with the last word? I just need to know. He just got to tell me something fresh. No, what you need to do is just get into his presence. You need to lean in. I don't like wasting opportunities. When we come to church and the music starts, I don't need to wait till I feel ready to worship. I choose to worship immediately. Regardless of how I feel, he's still God. And so I'm going to lean in the moments, and I'm going to remind myself who he is. I'm going to tell my soul and my spirit to worship the one who did everything for me, regardless of how I feel. So I'm not going to have hands in pockets. I'm going to choose to worship him because of who he is. And know what? when I lean in and I start to feel the touch, since, you know, I start to all of a sudden, things that are supposed to have been done that I didn't do come back to memory. You know, the Bible says that if you have a gift that you want to bring to the altar for God, if you have a problem with a brother, you're supposed to leave the gift where it is, go and deal with the problem of unforgiveness or bitterness or struggle, and once it's been fixed, come back and then offer your gift to God. So you know what'll happen? You're praying, you don't even understand why, but maybe you're trying to lean in and worship God, and all the things that keep coming to your mind are problems that you haven't fixed. Maybe God's saying, mm-mm. I know you want to worship me, but you need to deal with this. Because what you're doing is you're putting bondage and holding people hostage, and then you want to come and try and find freedom for me. What I need to do is lay my gift down and go fix the things I know that I can fix. Guess what? You might not have been the problem starter. You can be the problem fixer. You can choose to say, I don't even know how we got here, but I'm just going to say sorry for it all because I just want this to be over. I just want us to move forward because you know what? I believe that we have an opportunity to repair some things. Maybe we'll never be best friends again, but let's not live in hostility. I'll take the blame. It takes a big person to do that. Jesus said, hey, I'll take the blame. Even though I didn't do any of it, I just want relationship. I believe there's an opportunity here for us to have something, a forever moment, and I'll just take it. When he went to the cross, amen? So in a world that is eager for a new revelation, let's lean in for a fresh touch in his presence. You ready for number four? Come on, his presence is our greatest present. I've said this before. We're always looking for a new gift. God, bring me something new. Jesus came. He's here. Yeah, we have the ability to accept him. He even said, hey, it's better that I leave so I can send the Holy Spirit, who's going to be your advocate, your helper. And so we need to understand the presence of God. That's the ultimate. It's the best. There's nothing else you could get from God that's better than what he's already given. But sometimes we'll get into a relationship, and because the butterflies start to go away, we think things have changed. We think, well, it's not like it was. And I'm not even talking about other relationships, even though it totally works. I'm talking about this relationship with Jesus, where all of a sudden we say yes to Jesus and life change starts to begin, and we're excited and we're seeing God in the left and right, and we're seeing his hand on this and seeing him fixing that, and we're just blown away. And then eventually we start to go, where'd God go? Where's your lean? Are you still leaning towards God, or have you kind of just relaxed and now you're in the world? But I'm not of it. We got to lean in for God. Knowing his presence is actually the ultimate thing. Do you realize heaven, they talk about the streets of gold, and they talk about the pearly gates, and you know, they talk about all these things that seem exciting, but we're not going to care about any of it. When we get there, all we're going to want to do is be in his presence. Now, if I can be in his presence while we're hang gliding together, that might be cool. I don't know if heaven has its own line of Harleys, but that could be cool. But being in his presence is the greatest gift we'll ever receive. Why? Because he's the only one that can bring true freedom. I hope you're getting this. Those who want to experience a greater freedom will only ever find it in Jesus' presence. And so as I told this person, like I started this morning talking about, as I told this person, what if the only difference we have that I believe in Jesus was the only difference that matters? Is because I understand that Jesus changes everything. There's a lot of religions. There's a lot of people that claim the way. There's a lot of people that claim that you can take this way or that way. And Jesus said, no, I'm the way. And so people go, I don't like that. That's not politically correct. I'd rather be politically wrong but right with Jesus than be politically correct and wrong with Christ. I'm okay. You know, my whole life I was graded on tests. And when I was wrong, I was wrong. It wasn't like, well, I guess the earth was considered flat at one point, so because you still believe it's considered flat, I'll give you an A. When there's truth presented, that means other things become false. Yeah. And what the adversary loves to do is make you think that everything can be okay, because if everything's okay, then nothing's not okay, including him. I'm giving you something to chew on today. God's word tells us that his presence, there is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. No matter how bad things look, choosing to trust in Jesus can change everything in your world. Number five, you still with me? His freedom is forever. Forever. It's lasting. It's not something that comes and goes. How many people enjoy roller coasters? I love roller coasters. Strap me in. I love dragging my kids on roller coasters. You know, like the very first roller coaster Riley ever went on was actually Space Mountain, and she had no idea what she was getting herself into. She's like, space? I love outer space. I'm like, I know, let's go, you know? And so she's like, cool, let's do it. And so we end up going, and she's like, as she gets in there, she starts to see it's a little dark. I'm like, this is outer space. It's going to be dark, you know? Like, okay, okay. And I'm like, do you want to sit in front? She's like, sure, yeah, okay. Smiling's my favorite, you know? And so we get her in there, we put her in, we're on this roller coaster. I'm like, yeah! And I can see her going, you know, she doesn't know how to take it. But I'm like, look, there's some roller coasters that are extremely fun. And she came off and she still brags about how she went on Space Mountain. I'm not sure she'll ever go on again, but she lets everyone know I went on Space Mountain. I told her, you're welcome. But there are some roller coasters that are amazing, but the roller coaster life is not. I don't look forward to that. I don't jump into the front of the line. I don't say, pick me to be in front. And what I've come to realize is that as much as the roller coaster of life is a struggle, what I know is that when I'm with Jesus, I actually have that harness on. I know that we may go upside down. We may lose light as far as what I can see. It may get blurry, but man, Jesus gives me the freedom to even in the mess, in the middle of the mess, I can still go, I know I'm good. I'll come out the other side. I might look like Riley. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I'm coming out the other side. Hey, amen? But his freedom is forever. It lasts. It says in Luke 13:13, Jesus said to the woman, I release you forever from this crippling spirit. Instantly, she stood straight and tall and overflowed with glorious praise to God. His freedom, it lasts. Jesus doesn't give like others do, as the Bible says, where he gives and then takes back later. That's not how he is. Or only giving when we deserve it. That's not how Jesus is. He gives freely to those who seek and who ask. Look what it says in Matthew 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, it doesn't say how many times you have to knock on the door. It doesn't say how long that seek game will last. People say, I've asked once. Listen. I think you need to understand this. God is into the whole idea of having a real relationship with you. The more you're seeking and the more you're asking is the more attention he's getting, and he likes it. If he gave you everything you wanted on the first ask, you'd never talk to him. Don't lie, because he already knows you're lying. Like I tell people all the time, when my children get hurt, I hate that they get hurt, but I love every hug I get when they're hurt. I love every moment. I'm telling you, God doesn't love that we're hurting, but he loves when the relationship building happens and when we're reaching out and we're loving him. God, don't walk out and say, man, that pastor said God loves when we're hurting. God doesn't love when we're hurting, but any chance that we will lean into relationship with him, it's going to benefit not just him, but us. Life's not easy. Well, maybe it's because if it was easy, you'd never talk to God. Just food for thought. Number six, his effect in our life should bring an overflow out of our life. It said in verse 13, instantly she stood straight up tall and what? Overflowed with glorious praise to God. What happened inside couldn't be held inside. What God does, the effect of Jesus in your world should create something that comes out. People say, wow, you get a lot of opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. No, I don't. I choose to. Wow, how do you find yourself in all these situations? I open my mouth. And I have all those scared feelings like, what if they reject me? And then I realize they wouldn't be rejecting me, they'd be rejecting God, and I'm just going to do my part. But what if somebody doesn't like what I said? Well, then that's one more person that I had an opportunity. I'm not here to demand people become disciples. If I can talk them into faith, someone can talk them out of faith. I'm here to offer an opportunity for them to actually think about something in a different way and be a seed planted for God to water so that they can have their own personal revelation. If it's not revelation, it's not going to last. Are you getting this, church? But when we get into his presence, what happens inside us should stir something. It should stir thankfulness, gratitude, emotion, praise, adoration, action, relationship, service, obedience. It should bring out honor. When Jesus does something inside us, something should come out of us. Some people, they're surprised to know that that Julie and I actually live what the Bible says. You know, they go, "Oh, well, you have to." And I'm like, "I did it before I had to." Like, I served in the church. I think I started serving in the church at like 9 or 8 when I could help in the kids ministry in the class that was younger than me. Some people go, "Oh, that's just because you didn't want to sit through service." That was a perk. Let's all take a minute and remember. That was a service that went 3 hours. One for me, one for my homies. I think some were lost. They never came back. Some kids, they're still stuck under those pews after hour 2.5. All right, anyway, back to what I'm saying. But the effect inside us changes us. It makes us want to do something for God. And even when I was young, I understood that, and I did that, and I did it before I had to do it. Even though sometimes I go, "Did I have to do it?" My parents were pastors. I probably had to do it, but in my eyes, I wasn't doing it because I had to do it. Good talk. But it says instantly, she stood up straight, and what happened? She overflowed with glorious praise. His presence, his touch should create an overflow of praise. I'm back. Number 7, you guys went on that tangent with me. Number 7, religion focuses on rules while Jesus focuses on the person. Those that are clapping are the ones that realized Jesus focused on them as a person. They were like, revelation. Wow. When you start to understand that when Jesus died, he died with you in mind, things change. It's not this contextual idea that he died for the world. He died for me. He died so that I could have an opportunity to make a decision for him, so that I could choose to say yes. But anyway, religion focuses on rules while Jesus focuses on the person. The Jewish leader in verse 14, he was mad. Why? Because religion, the rule is you only do things in 6 days. The 7th day, we do nothing. Jesus, he ends up kind of just calling them out for what had happened. Hopeless frauds, hypocrites. Why? Because he was saying, this person is worth it to me. This person is worth me rewriting a new testament, a new agreement, a new covenant. Again, I got to remind you that the old covenant is about to be fulfilled through Jesus. Jesus is laying groundwork for the structure of what will be his new covenant that he's going to offer to the world. And because he's the only one that is sinless, he's the one that can rewrite this. And so as he's doing all of these things, he's not doing it just out of sheer rebellion. He's doing it out of, I'm letting you know how things are changing. I want you to be aware of how life will be. Once this happens, this is how we're going to do things. And so Jesus' freedom is not offered by jumping through religious hoops. It's important for you to know that because some people, I'll tell you, I go as I travel the world and I'm in preaching in different cultures and so many things, people find Jesus and they find freedom and they're so excited about freedom and then they go back and they pick up that big old blanket of religious thoughts and theologies and isms and they put it back on because it feels comfortable. They had freedom, but now they're choosing to live back under a religious thing, under legalism, under all this stuff. When Jesus makes you free, you're free indeed. When he sets you free, you're free indeed. And so guess what? We don't have to then go, but in order for me to look holy, I've got to do it like this. Jesus didn't do it like that. I just want to do it like Jesus. His new covenant will be about, not about helping us walk through the law, but instead about walking with him. He'll have fulfilled the law, which he did, amen. He'll have, everything will be under the name of Jesus. Every sin will be under the blood of Jesus. And those that claim Jesus will live in the benefits of true freedom. Did you receive the word?
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.